Good morning and thanks for coming out at this early hour, as both Sabine and Chungming have mentioned. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about immobilization of arsenic in bioreactor landfills, and I'm well aware of the fact that this is not a solid waste conference, and I am not a solid waste engineer. My involvement in this project started when they started seeing some fairly interesting chemistry in the leachate that was coming out of the bottom of these columns. And as such, I thought it was fairly interesting, and I thought that there is some definite application in soil science. So with that, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the project background, discuss some of the current results that we have, and then talk a little bit about some of the future research. So at this point in time, municipal solid waste landfills have been identified as point source emitters of arsenic. And up to about 70% of the municipal solid waste landfills in the United States fall under this criteria. And the majority of the arsenic loss comes through the leachate. In a traditional landfill, you see there's a cap that's placed on the surface, as most of you know. And the whole idea is to keep water out so that you have this nice sealed container that you have nothing coming into and only the leachate coming out. In a bioreactor landfill, you're introducing moisture into the system to help promote degradation. So it's a completely different system. With the system that we have set up here, we actually have a recirculation. So leachate that's coming out of the bottom is pumped back up and put back into the landfill, into their bioreactor through the top. These synthetic sort of simulations are about 3.2 meters and 3.1 meters in height and about 50 centimeters in diameter, which gives you about a 1.6 meter squared area for the diameter. They're filled with synthetic municipal solid waste. The synthetic municipal solid waste consists of aluminum that's been shredded, plastic bottles that have been shredded, construction debris, which is both wood and sort of concrete, and the wood consisted of both CCA-treated wood and non-CCA-treated wood. And then also there was dog food that was added sort of to help promote, as a carbon source to help promote microbial growth. The lysimeters were filled to a filled to a consistent bulk density, about a half a kilogram per meter cubed, and the moisture rate, or the moisture content was brought up to 50%. And as I said, there was leachate recirculation. And there were three different lysimeters. And the one we have no drinking water residual material. And in the other two, we have drinking water residual material. And the reactor was kept at 37 degrees. And in the third one, drinking water residual, and the reactor was kept at 60 degrees. And the basic difference between all these is the addition of the drinking water residual material. And one of the reasons that we were interested in that is ferric chloride and ferric sulfate are being used as a tertiary treatment in wastewater treatment to help remove arsenic and other materials. And so the wastewater treatment material that we added did have arsenic that was loaded onto it. And a total of 13 grams of arsenic was introduced to the two different columns. And the basic question then became, what happens to the arsenic underneath these conditions? And whether or not they're kept at the 37 degrees or the 70 degrees, and then also what is going on with the iron as well. And we have a couple different sources of iron, and that's one thing that I forgot to mention. In the reactor without any of the drinking water residual, the iron is in there as zero valent iron that's been shredded. It's about, I think it was between 1 and 2 millimeters in diameter. And the other two reactors, they had the same iron content, but some of that iron then was replaced by the drinking water residual. Sampling occurred for the leachate biweekly, and then solid samples were taken after 400 days. The larger pieces of the synthetic municipal solid waste were removed, the aluminum can, the concrete, and any of the shredded bottle, and we tried to grind up and concentrate the rest of it for solid phase analysis. Taking a look at some of the leachate chemistry off the top here, what's really interesting is you see initially with the arsenic concentration, you see initial spike, and then subsequently you see this dramatic decrease that stays It just continues to decrease over the time period that we're looking at. However, if you take a look at the iron, it continues to increase over the entire time period. And if you look at some of the data now, which I didn't have a chance to put up, it's pretty much leveled off and sort of reached a steady state. But it's actually, what was interesting to them was why you saw this spike in arsenic and what was happening to the arsenic. Because the arsenic was initially coming out of the bottom of the reactor and being pumped in through the top, and the question is what happened to it? Because we know that the recirculation of the leachate has gone through at least 3 or 4 times at this point in time, so the question becomes, where did the arsenic go? If you take a look at some of the other sort of parameters that we have for it, you can see pH increases over the time period, and these bioreactors are considered to be in what's known as the acid phase for landfills. So obviously you have an acidic pH environment that continues into sort of a neutral and then basic phase. The ORP, you can see, drops off initially and then sort of comes back and levels off, and it's fairly constant throughout. There are a couple spikes you can see in the ORP measurements, and you may have also noticed in the iron as well. And periodically, there were some issues with the bioreactors, and there was oxygen that got into them. And so you see these spikes sort of in the iron and the ORP as well. Sulfide precipitation was minimal throughout most of the time period. And then ammonia production was used sort of as an analog to microbial action. And so you can obviously tell higher temperatures, more degradation. And so you see the most ammonia production in the bioreactor that was kept at 60 degrees. So looking at some of the solid phase results, for the reactor without any drinking water residual, it's pretty easy to see there was not much arsenic that was there. The arsenic that was there has been attributed to the fact that there was CCA treated lumber that went into the reactor itself. In the other two reactors, we see the different concentrations of arsenic at different levels between the two different temperatures. What's interesting, though, is that the 37 degree and the 60 degree differ in where the majority of the arsenic is found. At this point in time, where you can see sort of the cursor is where the initial port, where the drinking water residual was initially placed. And in the 37 degree, you can see that it hasn't moved much from that position. The bulk of the arsenic, it's still located in the middle, while in the higher temperature, it appears that most of the arsenic in the solid phase has been leached and moved through to the bottom. When you start to look at some of the speciation of the material, just looking at the Zane spectra, you can see it in the no drinking water residual, it's primarily still in an arsenate-arsenite form. Initially, the material was completely arsenate when it was introduced. Well, it was completely arsenate when it was introduced to the system. In this system, there is no drinking water residual. But you do start to see some transformation of the arsenate that was there to an arsenite. And when you start looking at the drinking water residuals, I think it becomes a little bit more interesting. You can definitely see that that the most reduced phase of arsenic present follows where the bulk of the arsenic is found. So in the middle reactor, we see the most reduced phase, in the 37 degree reactor, we see the most reduced phase in the middle. And while we see the most reduced phase in the 60 degree near the bottom where the bulk of arsenic is being found. And we just went back through and we did some linear combination fitting to get an idea of what the arsenic speciation was. And I'm just going to show you the data from the two largest concentrations of arsenic. So if we look at the middle, it's interesting that you're actually forming monomethylated arsenate. And what's interesting at this point in time is that in 37 degrees, you're going to get methanogenic bacteria that are growing. And so you have the largest concentration of arsenic in the middle. And based on some of the results that the other group has looked at, is where the most reducing conditions are, or is found in the middle of this reactor. And so we think at this point in time that the arsenic that might be being leached there is being transformed into a monomethylated form and being sequestered or tied up either by some of the organic matter material that's in there or possibly any of the remaining hydroxide. We also start to see the formation of an orpiment-like phase, a poorly crystalline phase, something similar to what Peggy O'Day identified earlier in the literature. As you move over to the 60 degree, you do not see any of the monomethylated arsenic, and prime principal reason is that methanogenic bacteria don't operate well in the 60 degree range. So we can see based on the initial based on the temperatures at which these reactors are incubating, we get drastically different speciation changes. And in this case, we see predominantly a much greater portion of the orpiment, of the poorly crystalline orpiment phase. It's also interesting to note that in the 60 degree reactor, there is no methane production, but at 100 days, there was up to 50% hydrogen production. So if you're taking a look, I mean, just trying to understand the microbial interactions that might be occurring and where the terminal electron receptors are, it gets to be fairly confusing. It's a very heterogeneous system, and we believe that there are sort of pockets of different redox activity. So when you're looking just at these small solid phases that we've collected from it, we get a picture of what's going on, but it's really hard to say that this is the overall process that's occurring within some of these reactors because of the fact that they're so heterogeneous. And it just may be that where we sampled, we saw this one species of arsenic or this one picture that may not be representative of the entire column. However, based on some of the leachate chemistry and the gas production, we're starting to believe that this is probably pretty indicative of what's going on throughout the entire column. And I just wanted to sort of put into context the speciation that we're seeing in the three different reactors, as well as the concentration of arsenic and where it's found. And what's interesting is we know that we have arsenic that's being recirculated to the top. And so you're actually seeing this phase of sort of an arsenic sulfide material that's in the top of the reactors. And if you take a look at the no drinking water residual, we have extremely low concentration of arsenic. So we have to assume that because of these elevated concentrations that the arsenic from the drinking water residual is being recirculated. So we know that it's coming back up to the top, and we know that it's also precipitating out sort of an orpiment-like phase there. What's also interesting is we're still seeing a ferrihydrite-like phase as well. And so some of the question becomes, where's the ferrihydrite coming from? And I don't know that answer. Based on the reducing conditions within the columns, it doesn't make sense that it should be there. However, it's also possible that some of the solid material that was leached through the column might be redistributed up the top of the column after the leachate recirculation. And again, you see this predominantly a sort of a sulfide phase that's forming here at the largest concentrations of arsenic, and then the monomethylated arsenic phase here. And overall, I think it's a very interesting system, again, because it's heterogeneous and you're seeing sort of this formation of these arsenic compounds that initially, and based on some previous research in solid waste, is not necessarily expected. And so this brings up sort of an interesting question of why aren't we pursuing, bioreactor landfills instead of utilizing a traditional technique? Because in this case, we're actually creating a more recalcitrant form of arsenic. The reactors have had a chance to go for another year just about, and we've just taken solid samples, and looking forward to getting a chance to analyze those and see again how the speciation is changing over time. So as I just mentioned, some of the future research that we're looking at is looking at additional analysis of samples that are going on today, and then also trying to look at some of the extended region of the XAFs to get a better idea of what phases might be present. And then we also collected iron zanes data at the same time, and I'm in the process of going through that now. But what's interesting in that initially is it doesn't appear that there's any other phase besides the ferrihydrite that was initially introduced. So we're not seeing any other type of iron product at this point in time. The other thing that we're playing with at the moment is trying to create a more concentrated, smaller contained reactor. So we might be able to just utilize, a small amount of the synthetic municipal solid waste, grind it down to a very small particle size, and then sort of incubate it within some of the leachate that we collect from the reactors to get a better idea of what might be going on, sort of as a holistic approach, because of the fact that it's very difficult to get in there and try to sample many different areas within the reactors themselves. And with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yes, we have time for at least one question. One question, Ben.
Yes. I'm interested in I was wondering if you have verified the presence of your solid faces like Opinion using other analytical tools like XRD. I know you feed your data with
It's on my list of things to do at this point in time. The question was whether or not I've tried to validate the presence of the arsenic sulfide phases using another analytical technique. And at this point in time, it's on the list of things to do.